All right, John. So the most pressing question on my mind right now, who's coming in with you today? Is it Momo again?
Momo, yeah. Okay. She's over because of the breaking Robert Sarver news. She's doing a TV thing over at NBA Today, and then she's heading over here.
Okay, so Momo's in for Mace today, so she'll be joining us here in a couple of minutes. Let's get to the most important topic of the day. When you go into the sauna, what are we doing? You just letting it all... hang
now,
out there?
This is Morales-based. This is, I heard him in here with you before.
I forget how we got sidetracked.
They were at a country club.
The country club.
Yeah, I'm not a sauna guy. I'm a steam room guy.
Okay, even in the steam room, do you just have the towel around your waist? That's it, right? Yeah, see?
All right, so
wait. What do you mean, see?
So
he puts a towel down.
Yeah, to sit on.
What's wrong with that?
And there's no coverage after that. Are you the same?
What's wrong with that? No.
Thank you, John.
I have a towel wrapped around me, so when I sit, I'm sitting on the towel.
Yeah. I play defense. Full coverage.
So I brought this up years ago, but let me give you a locker room, men's locker room dilemma that I find myself in once. Now, if you go in the jacuzzi that's in the locker room, you hang up the towel and jump in naked, right?
Yes.
Okay, everybody agrees on that. So I'm at a gym where I'm a member, and I do that. I hang up the towel, I get in the jacuzzi, turn on the jets, I'm naked in the jacuzzi, and then another guy, about a minute later, older dude, walks in and does the exact same thing. Hangs up his towel, gets in. I'm on one side of the jacuzzi, he's on the other. Then, a guy, it's like a Sunday morning, guy walks in with his, I would say, three-year-old daughter.
Oh boy.
And 4-year-old son, and they both come and they put their feet on the top step of the jacuzzi. Now, I can't get out at this point,
right?
Because I'll scar this girl for life. And they're just sitting there, and then the guy walks in, and the guy next to me in the jacuzzi just loses it. The kids are sitting there in the
step. The older guy I'm talking about
goes, "Hey, man," to the dad. Goes, "We're both naked in here, and you bring your daughter in here. You're putting us in an impossible position." And the guy immediately back goes, "Guys, I'm so sorry.
Sure.
This is the one day a week my wife, I take the kids so she can have a couple hours." He goes, "I don't effing care if you take your kid," like he's cussing. "I don't even care if you take your kids. You don't bring your daughter in the men's locker room. Now both of us have to make a decision that isn't fair to her." And so now I'm going, "Oh, God, this guy's going to come back.
Don't bring me into this.
Don't tell me." Yeah, and this guy's going to give the old, "Don't tell me how to parent my kids." I'm like,
right.
Okay, so I'm thinking in my head, and I'm just sitting there. I'm observing the whole thing. I'm like, if these two start fighting, do I jump out, grab a towel, and leave? Do I try and break it up when I have no clothes on?
Yeah.
What about the little kids? And then the dad, he's like, right then, I would have just gone, "You know what, guys? You're right. I'm very sorry. Kids, let's go."
Yep.
Dad's not doing that. He's trying to plead his case while the two kids are splashing on the top step. And now this is going on, I don't know, 5-6 minutes. I was only going to be in there for 5, but now I'm married to my position.
You're in there as long as the kids are still in there, at least.
So what
That's
is...
a tough position.
Okay, ethically, first of all, what's the play... I assume you guys both agree the dad was wrong to bring the daughter in there.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, but now that we're in this position...
Do everything else. Just don't
do you, Trav, do you say anything to the dad?
I would try to de-escalate in the situation. I would say to the guy that was... "Hey, why did you put us in there? Hey, take it easy. It's okay. Would you mind taking her out of here so we can get out put on our towel?"
Yep.
I would not make it worse.
This guy was hot. The old guy was hot.
I'm with the guy that's hot, but at this point... doubling down doesn't help. You got to try to dial it back a little bit. You know what? Would you mind just getting her out of here so we can get out?
I can't believe you could be that stupid.
So he's uncomfortable. He's uncomfortable having a child in the locker room because
female child.
But he's okay f-bombing her like crazy.
Correct. In front of her.
There's a bit
the
of
wheels
hypocrisy.
Are off at this point, and I'm like stuck right in the middle.
No,
Emily,
not.
Who's at fault in that scenario? Who comes off as the biggest jerk in that story?
I think the dad that brought their kids in. One, I'm assuming this place has childcare.
They do.
So put the kids in the childcare. That's what it's there for. They should not mixed gendered or whatever. Should not be in the same locker room until after a certain age.
Trav, you have a daughter, right?
I do.
At what age? I would assume when she was a certain age, you would take her in the men's bathroom if she had to go, right?
Yes.
Because you didn't trust her going in.
Yes.
What age did she graduate from that?
4 or 5.
Okay, this kid was probably not there yet.
Yeah, no, see, Emily, you're not wrong necessarily, but as a parent of children and as a parent of a daughter, sometimes you lose track of the fact that there are not places to take your kids into. Because right. you just say, I'm just going to go in real quick. Kids are going to stick their feet sure. in the hot. And you go in there, and all of a sudden, it's, oh, I just stepped in it, right?
Right.
I just did a thing that.
Well, he should have left.
And by the way,
he should have left.
I should point out, you grab your daughter, you grab your son, and say, guys, we need to go. That's what you do.
I should point out to you, too, that so the way this place is set up is the jacuzzi's here. To the right is both the sauna and the steam room, mm-hmm. and guys are walking out of there naked back and forth in front of these two kids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the dad made a tactical error.
You don't bring your 3 or 4 year old daughter into the locker room.
Yeah. All right. So this is a public service announcement. Dad, we're sensitive that you're trying to buy your wife a couple hours. Can't bring your 4 year old girl into the men's
locker
room.
But do you have to escalate it like that right
out
of the chute?
Yeah. This dude.
That's bad.
This dude was looking for confrontation.
Yeah. He was having a bad.
Well, he topped that story of put a towel on.
John, I have one question though. In this sauna jacuzzi, are they playing the Travis and Siwa show?
No, different, and by the way, M, different club, too. The Travis and Sia show was at Mountain Gate, and this is
much
at Manhattan Country Club Tennis Club.
We're much more popular at Mountain Gate.
Yeah, we're more of a Mountain Gate.
And apparently
at
Mountain Gate, you have a P1 that will go nowhere without Travis and Sia. If you don't know what we're talking about, I told these guys earlier in the week, I went in there to take a shower, and the guy in the shower next to me not only had a portable waterproof speaker, but he had Travis and Sia on. It was like 11:30. It was great.
Incredible.
You guys are touching all corners of the globe.
Do you have, how long have you been doing the Lakers play-by-play? Or not even play-by-play, because I know you're sidelined for a long
time.
Right.
I did sideline for 10, and this will be my 11th year of
play-by-play.
Okay,
so you're 20-plus years.
21 years with them, yeah.
21 years, and you did Clippers for a while, too,
yeah,
right?
Four years at Clippers.
You've been around the NBA for a quarter of a century, so I would say. Do people rise to high levels inside the NBA despite rampant incompetence the way they do in the NFL and what we saw with Nathaniel Hackett last night?
Yeah, absolutely couldn't believe it.
Where you just, because this is football 101 stuff. This is stuff that if you've ever played Madden, if you've ever watched a high school game, this is addition and subtraction level stuff.
It's
Does that
simple
happen
stuff.
In the NBA where just a guy just flat out doesn't know what the hell is happening?
I was trying to think of a more blatant example of coaching incompetence than we saw last night, and I can't come up with one.
I do. I got one for you. Maybe not quite. Brandon Staley had to do nothing, and they go to the playoffs last year, and he decided to call a timeout. He just stood there and done nothing, they
go
to the
John
postseason.
Might be a good example. Every time this scenario pops up with you and Michael about down three and how many different times you guys just say, just foul, right? And you see it over and over again.
I have had this conversation with every Laker head coach of the last 20 years, including Phil. And they'll all say, it depends how much time is on the clock. No, if you're up three, I mean, and these are guys I respect. If you're up three, up two or three, really, two is even better. The only thing that can beat you is a three. Don't let them take it. Just foul them. The whole building's going, foul.
And
then
happens
you see some guy hit a three, game over.
Buck and Ankman were befuddled at what they were looking at last night. Ankman, I think, said something like, well, this is taking way too long, and I don't know what they're trying to get done.
Did you guys
know what to do.
Have you guys seen the clip of the Manning cast?
It's great.
How about this? Here you go. You want to listen to
Peyton Manning? Well, but what you don't hear here is Peyton Manning doing the timeout motion probably 40 times in a row.
So this is Shannon Sharp and the Manning brothers.
Yeah.
What the? So you just burned 30 seconds to call a timeout?
A lot of time wasted right there to call a timeout, Peyton.
You think, Eli?
Yes.
Even now, if you get 5 yards, you still got 2 timeouts, but you gotta get some yardage.
They're going to kick it.
Kick what?
Oh, they're going to kick. They're kicking right here?
Kicking the field goal right here.
Hold on.
Oh.
Let me see how far this
62-yarder, 63-yarder.
What?
64 was the actual number.
But what John was saying, Peyton a lot of times was either like this, like what the hell are you doing, or guys, timeout. He was doing that when there was 52 seconds left, and it went all the way down to 20 or whatever.
How does that level of incompetence rise to a head coaching position in that
league? Somebody
explain
something.
Momo, you look good again today.
I know. It was like a late ad.
Two days of wearing styling and wiling.
You got to start wearing suits here.
I got lashes for days.
I know.
The Okay, so I'm going to be the one person who thinks it's not that bad what he did.
All right, but I'm very, in all honesty,
yeah,
I'm very anxious to hear how you can justify this. So go ahead.
If, let's say, he had kicked the field goal with like a minute left and missed, right? The argument is now you still have enough time to use your timeouts, get a stop, and get the ball back, right?
Correct.
But what could also, let's say he kicks the field goal and makes it with a minute left. You also now left them a minute to go score, which generally speaking, you don't want to leave the other team enough time.
But you're leaving out the most important part of this. It's a 64-yard field goal. He's not going to make it.
Brandon McManus, who has a big leg, hasn't made a kick that far since 2009.
And you just went and moved heaven and earth to get Russell Wilson.
It's not like Mile High Stadium. This is in Seattle, not in Denver.
You gave away everything you have to get Russell Wilson for that moment.
Fourth and five, not fourth and 20. Right? Like fourth and five, not fourth and 20.
And it wasn't a 55-yard field goal, is a 65-yard.
And then after the game, Nathaniel Hackett said, "Well, we had just given up a sack." No, you didn't. You just got 9 yards to put yourself in that position.
That's right, off a run.
Well, I always think about now. I always think it's like whose hands do you want the game in?
Russell Wilson's.
Do you want
best
it in Russell
player.
Wilson, the kicker,
the guy you
or
just
your
paid
defense?
A quarter of $1 billion
or your defense? I would go of those three: the kicker, the defense, or Wilson. I would say the Russell Wilson or the defense, but. You could theoretically see in his head where he's overthinking the situation, saying, "I want to run the clock down so that they don't give enough time to score."
That's funny. I don't think he ran the clock down for that purpose.
They didn't know what they were going to do.
I think he did not know what to do.
He was a deer in the headlights.
They had no idea what the I talked to Rick Neuheisel about this one time, about these decisions. Like, what do you do at the end of the game? To decide to go on fourth down, not go, to kick, to call timeout, to not call timeout, to freeze, all of those things.
Right.
And he said this to me, and it's always stuck with me. You need to make that decision before it ever happens. That you need to talk about these things on Thursday. So if in these situations you just say, oh, this is the one we talked about, we call timeout right here.
Yep.
Because if you try to make it in the moment, you're going to bleep it up.
Well, I think I can even take it a step further than that. What calling timeout there would have done is provided them with more options.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you bring Russell Wilson over and you say, okay, it's fourth and five. We could have McManus kick a 64-yarder. Or we could have try and make it. And
I think we like.
I think they would have made it. They were averaging 6 yards a carry, 6 yards a play the whole game. So I think they would have made it. And by the way, even if you don't, okay, you still have two timeouts to stop them, and you would have less. But by not calling timeout, you took away all your options.
The final play was that kick.
Right.
That's what he did.
Yeah he just made it. We're going to win it or lose it here.
Win or lose
Nathaniel
it,
Hackett, who, by the way, when Paul, his dad, was the coach at USC, Paul's
that explains a lot.
Well, no, I like I was going to go the other way. I like Paul. I thought he was a great guy.
Might be a great guy, but was not a particularly good head coach.
Well, I learned a lot talking to him. I thought he knew a ton about football.
That's different than being a good head coach. I'm rooting
for Nathaniel Hackett, but he might be over his skis. I mean, there are guys littered through history that are great assistants, which he was in Green Bay, who can't be head coach. The best example of this is a guy named Dan Henning, who was Bill Parcells' lead assistant for a lot of years. Henning was the offensive guy, and Belichick was the defensive guy.
To go to the college game, too, another good example, Norm Chow.
Right.
Norm Chow was a brilliant offensive mind, a guy that was able to coordinate offenses across the country, and they would always be great. And he was at BYU in Hawaii, I think, of the two places he was head coach, and both of them were unsuccessful.
And so now the problem is the only way Nathaniel Hackett is going to win over the fan base now is to win big. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't win, and he's in the toughest division of football, if he doesn't win, people are going to say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's already shown that he's not capable of making end-of-game tough decisions.
What do you guys think the odds are on fourth and five with Russell Wilson? You probably
at least 50%.
Yeah, you think it's – let's just say it's 30%, okay, just for the sake of argument.
And you know what the odds were that
– to kick the field
less
goal?
Than 1%.
Right.
It's less than one that in the history of the NFL – two kicks of that length or further have gone in. Two.
Yeah. Wow.
In the whole history of the league.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know what they were thinking.
And Russell Wilson on fourth and five, worst case scenario, it's probably one out of four or five. Wow. One out of four or five is not
only two
terrible.
In the history of the NFL.
Two in the history of the league.
Oh, one. My gosh.
One ask because I know. I know.
By the way, they kept saying, I remember Tom Dempsey kicked 63.
63.
Who has 64?
Baltimore. Wasn't the,
Justin Tucker has 67. That's
right,
the longest one.
Right.
But
that's
he's
right.
also the greatest kicker in the history of the league, and he's automatic. So, sure, if you had Justin
Tucker.
But even
Tucker would probably say, try and get me closer. You know?
Yes.
Well, that game, I think the Tucker one was literally
the last play.
You know
who would have made it? The new kicker of the Browns. That guy would have made it.
Well, and
York.
Yeah. Is that incredible. Your guy?
Well, and, no, that was the guy who he's the only kicker who won a game the other day.
And the and
on
yeah,
Sunday,
and by
the
way,
only
all those guys,
the
Chris Boswell missing kicks, yeah. Evan McPherson missing kicks. I mean, they were all missing kicks.
Do you guys? I felt so sorry. They had, I think it was their third string long snapper for Cincinnati.
Oh, that was so
he
bad.
Was throwing changeups back there. Yeah. Like the ball just never got back to the holder. That was a disaster.
Once it happens once, it's going to keep happening. That's the thing.
Oh. Is this? We were just talking about this. Mark Cuban had some thoughts on the potential play-in, or not the play-in, the
in-season tournament.
What do you think is going to happen there? We still
Hold
don't
on,
really...
Before we get to what you think is going to happen, what
we
is
still
it?
Don't understand
Can
it.
Somebody explain to me what it is?
Do you guys ever follow, like, English Premier League soccer?
Not closely.
Okay. So they have tournaments in the middle of the season, and what it basically serves as is, let's say you're having a terrible year, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can go into these tournaments, get hot, win them, and get some... So it does two things. Number one, it gives them more TV games so they can make some more money. And number two, it depends what the reward is. It's either going to be, like, let's say they play this midseason tournament for $13 million to the winner. So each player gets an extra $1 million. That's incentive, particularly if you're on a last place team that's not going to the playoffs.
Sure.
The other thing you could do is you could say, whoever wins the midseason tournament, automatically the 8th seed. Now, if you do better than that,
then
if
you get that seed.
Earn a seed higher than that, that becomes your spot. But
is that what they're doing?
No, they haven't announced it yet. So these are all possibilities. But they need to make the reason Mark Cuban, I think, is down on. And Bergman, didn't you say that Cuban has since walked this back? What Travis?
Yeah, he did.
Sleep
he said played? He's a fan of it now.
Okay, and I think that what happened was the league got a hold of him and said, look how much more money we can make if we do this tournament.
But how is that not discussed before? Because Cuban literally said he wouldn't play his main players.
Okay. Well, not if there's not an incentive.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let me just lay this out. All right, I can just do this real fast. When the NBA has its broadcast rights come up, they have Turner and ESPN who have been their broadcast partners for a long time. And they're going to probably have to pay more in each successive broadcast deal. The way the NBA can make a lot more money is if they bring in new partners. Not just get more from the existing partners, if they bring in new partners. And new partners are going to want something special, not just a certain
streaming,
number of games.
Monday night game.
They're going to want something that feels special or different or new. So this midseason tournament is perfect for that. You've actually seen the WNBA do this. WNBA is kind of like an incubator for the ideas for the NBA. They try them out first, and a lot of them were good, and a lot of them were eh. But they've been doing what's called the Commissioner's Cup for a while. Guess who they sold the rights to the Commissioner's Cup to? Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the play-in game is interesting to me because there's something on the line. But
I'll watch.
It's just money. What do I care?
Yeah, but I have to because I work for the team, but I'll watch – the Lakers play the Sacramento Kings.
If I'm
on
watching
a
the
Monday,
Kings and the
be happy about
the
it.
Memphis Grizzlies compete for the eighth, and Grizzlies are a bad example because they're good, but two bad teams compete for. I don't give a damn. I just don't.
Wait a minute. But if it was Lakers Pelicans in the final,
Lakers are different because I'm a Laker fan. I want to watch the Lakers play. But if it put it this way, if it's the play-in game between Minnesota and the Clippers, I have no interest in either one of those teams. I want to watch that because somebody's getting in.
I watched that whole game.
Yeah, me too.
I was watching Patrick Beverly stand up on the table.
The reason you watched it, the reason I watched it, at least in part, is because there was something on the line. There were stakes.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting in. Somebody's going home.
So what I would say also is, I'll tell you, I think what's being discussed about this in-season tournament, the owners are fine with it if it creates more money. But if it costs them home games... not okay.
Right, and here's a last
home
thing,
games where they
and
make
I know
money.
We got to go. Keep in mind that for radio, we're the radio home of the Lakers. We do every game no matter what. Spectrum paid more money. Sportsnet LA paid more money to televise Laker rights than any other team in the country. The Lakers command the highest right fee there is. Bigger than the Warriors. They get games taken away, Trav, all the time. They don't.
By TNT and ESPN.
They don't have opening night. They don't have Christmas Day. They don't have Martin Luther King Day. Last year they got kneecapped 17 times. Mm. They want some of that back.
Wow.
And I would think the midseason tournament may give them that.
Mason and Island coming up next. Momo's in for Mason. We'll see you tomorrow.
Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Yes, indeed. 118 in the Southland. It is a live Imaging Tuesday on Mason and Ireland. And look at this. I get to do it live. Momo's here.
Hey. Do it live.
Momo sitting in for Mace, who's under the weather. You can't write that. You can't put the ding for that. Momo, do you have your headphones?
Yeah.
How are you? Have you ever been part of a live Imaging Tuesday?
I have never been part of a live Imaging Tuesday.
This is lit. L-I-T, live Imaging Tuesday.
This is a big moment.
I know. I like it.
It's a big moment for us.
I have been part of something when I did the worst read in radio history.
That was when we were promoting the Mandy's. But now that kind of gave way to this.
Do you hear this yesterday, Chris? This was...
Oh, this is excellent.
Dropped the deuce.
Yeah.
Was that... That's new?
Yeah. She did it yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. We were talking about a tennis player who said she felt lighter after a trip to the bathroom.
Well, let's see what we can get out of you today on a live Imaging Tuesday. Jorge, hit it. Mason in Ireland, right. Tuesday right now.
Stay here for a second, Chris, because I heard you talking. Though. Yeah. All right. All right.
Growl, Chris.
So, Chris. Guest growl. Chris Morales, guest growl. All right. I'm going to say one word to you. I understand that you were flat on your back in Amanda's office nursing an injury.
I was, yes.
Your mic back on. All right. You're gonna think I'm a little nuts, but trust me on this, okay? One word that will change the way you're feeling and moving forward and allow you to golf at will and do whatever you want, acupuncture. Have you ever done it?
I haven't. I do a lot of things, but acupuncture.
I'm going to send you my acupuncturist, who's a little crazy, a little nuts, but what they'll do is they'll stick a bunch of needles in the area where it hurts, and then they'll hook up electrical current to it, and you'll sit there for 25 minutes, and you will get up, and it's... Voila.
Really?
You're done. Oh, yeah. The other thing I would tell you to do, not as good as acupuncture, but less expensive, cryo. You ever done cryo?
I cry a lot.
Cry, not the same thing.
Okay.
You go into negative 200 degree temperatures and you sit there for 3 minutes and
LZ used to do that a lot.
Rid of all your inflammation and you come in. Now, but the acupuncture will last longer.
Okay.
So I'm going to send you my acupuncturist.
Are they in the South Bay?
They are in Santa Monica, Venice area.
Okay.
And when you tell them I sent you, again, not traditional medicine. It's
different. I'm fine. I don't like traditional medicine.
Okay. But I think it will solve your issues.
Momo, have you done acupuncture?
I swear by it.
Really?
I think it's great. Yeah.
Bergman, have you ever done it?
I have one too. I have a lady who I've gone to, and there's a guy on the west that I've gone to. They're both excellent. And when I had my back stuff, it was one of the only things that really calmed the pain down.
Really?
Yeah.
I did acupuncture once on my back, but that's it. Never cryo.
I'm gonna have to try this.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna give you to the guys. My doctor's name, the acupuncturist, is Don. His wife Ping also does it.
Okay.
Either one. If you want somebody to talk you through it, Don's your guy. He talks the whole time. Ping just does it and doesn't say anything.
No, I like it when they talk through it.
All right. Yeah. So I'm sending it your way.
Well, thank you, John.
And hopefully, we'll cure your issues.
Okay, I appreciate that. Right. Meanwhile, here we go. Mason and Ireland with Momo for your Tuesday right now.
Thank you, Chris. And we were talking about the game. Ramona, did you watch the game last night?
Yeah.
All right. What were you saying to yourself when you watched the final minute and there's a minute left and they have three, count them, three timeouts left?
Well, first of
all. And the ball in the 50
and they don't do anything. They just let the clock run.
First of all, I was saying I'm going to win the mythical money.
You did. You won 10 grand off me, which is excellent.
I think I just felt like some of it was Peyton and all them yelling call timeout. Some of it was Troy Aikman was yelling that. Like everyone was saying call timeout. But I guess there was I can see where his brain was going. I don't agree with it. I think he overthought it, but if he kicks it with all that time left and makes it, then you've just now left the Seahawks time to go.
Yeah,
down
you know what the difference
again.
Is? You're ahead.
I know.
You're ahead in the game.
I know.
I mean, don't overthink this, Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, and by the way, where were his assistants?
I know.
Every professional sports team now has like 11 assistants, and football teams have like 15. Not one guy could say, hey, call timeout.
It's kind of like the opposite of the Chargers coach, the guy who always goes for it on fourth down, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, he always goes for it. And this guy apparently never goes. you can see it's never good to always go for it, because I think Brandon Staley probably did that one too many times and got caught there. But Nathaniel Hackett, too conservative. Like, this is just not. He's also, remember where he came from. He was Aaron Rodgers' offensive coordinator for a long time. And a couple years ago, there was a play with Aaron Rodgers like this, very similar. Aaron's had a couple of, you know, at the end of playoff games, overthinking or not putting the ball in his hands, right? I think my biggest takeaway from the night was Russell Wilson's press conference afterwards.
In what sense?
He had a chance. That must have been incredibly hard for him to hold his tongue. This is a new coach. This is his return game to Seattle. The fans are booing him. Like, he wants to win this game more than anything. And he had his coach's back. Like, even though it was very clearly.
Kind of has to, doesn't he?
He kind of has to. But you know what? How many athletes do you know in that situation when the coach, like, very rookie coach, very clearly messes up, would be able to hold their tongue? And some of them, so maybe somebody wouldn't say something, but they would just roll their eyes, scoff, whatever. They would show how they were feeling. Incredible restraint there.
Yeah. I thought the Seahawks fans, which have been, you know, 12th man, they've been a loyal fan base. I thought they embarrassed themselves last night.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why coming up next. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mace, and by the way, today, later today, 3 o'clock today, we're doing that super giveaway that everybody helped us get the Cover 5 thing going the other day. But we want you to still sign up for Cover 5. Go to the App Store, download the Cover 5 app, type in for the code MI22, and you can compete against Mason and I. You can win $100 a week. But Craig, our boss, challenged Mason and I to see if we could get 2,500 people before the end of the show Friday, and we did it. And so, as a thank you to all the people that signed up, we're giving them 2 tickets to the Laker-Clipper opener, 2 tickets to the Ram-Raider game on December 8th, Mason's Ugly Ren Spooner USC shirt, and if you don't like USC, I'll get you a UCLA one instead. And they get to come in and play Game of Games. Greg, we're giving that away. We're announcing the winner
Correct.
At 3 o'clock today, right?
Yeah, let's just announce it at 3, and then we can figure everything out.
So, all right. John, guess what? Last night, I stayed up and watched the Hulu Legacy again. I watched that last night before bed because I knew we were going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
And there was such a good scene with Shaquille O'Neal talking about how he accepted coaching from Phil Jackson when he went up to Montana to visit him.
Move this log?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll talk about
Amazing.
That. Yeah, we'll talk about this
You can only
too.
Find that on Hulu. Okay, it's streaming. That's the Lakers Legacy, which is part of the Disney bundle. Stream live sports and original content with ESPN Plus today. You get access to the award-winning 30 for 30 library, unrivaled UFC access, including exclusive pay-per-views, live coverage of 35 PGA Tour events each year, and thousands of hours of college sports. Get the ESPN Plus and Disney Plus bundle today and watch ESPN Originals, the 30 for 30s, the entire Disney and Marvel library, and more. Stream anytime, anywhere. Go to ESPNLABundle.com to learn more.
All right, so we'll talk about the Hulu Lakers thing. And Michael has been sending me videos from the Laker reunion thing in Maui. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Unbelievable. I'll tell you about that, too. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. Momo sitting in for Mace, who's out all week. I know he's under the weather, but come on. It is amazing. We had a bet. I said he wouldn't make it 3 weeks. He'd make it 3 weeks without a day off.
He didn't make it one.
Right.
And he was the one who made a big deal out of, we're here. Football season's here. Blah, 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 blah. I don't know why he does that every year.
I know. By the way, Andy Gibb, Yacht Rock.
Andy Gibb. There's only one Gibb left, right? One living Gibb.
Is it Robbie?
Barry?
No, Barry.
I think it's Barry.
Barry.
Yeah. So, by the way, little known fact, Chris, that you'll appreciate.
Yes.
Bruce Springsteen on tour in Australia. Somebody tells him, hey, you know the Bee Gees grew up 20 minutes from here.
Really?
They're in like Melbourne or Sydney or someplace. Springsteen goes, really? Okay. Writes on the spot a rock version of Stayin' Alive and opens the concert with it.
Really?
Yeah, go on YouTube and type in
"That's awesome
Springsteen Staying Alive" and watch it. It's all in HD. They filmed it. It's unbelievable.
Are you going to see him on this tour? Because he's not performing in California. Are you going to go somewhere to see it?
It depends. If I am in the city, because I start traveling with the Lakers in 3 weeks.
Right.
If I happen to be there when he's there on an off night, I'm in. But I'll overpay to go, but we'll see.
Mason in Ireland continues now.
Okay, Momo, we brought up a couple of things. One was, I was surprised... Really surprised, actually. I know it did not end great with Russell Wilson in Seattle, and you, depending on who you talk to. I heard Mina Kimes, who's a Seahawks fan today, talking about how Russell forced his way out of there, and it's very awkward, and a lot of the players didn't land there. Still. Got you to two Super Bowls. Was a great quarterback for there. This is the best way I can explain it. Listen to Peyton and Eli Manning. When Russell Wilson took the field last night and they started booing him, this is what it sounded like on the Manning cast.
Have you ever been personally booed? I think that's what that is. That's not like booing Denver. That is booing Russell Wilson personally.
I agree with you. Those are all personal boos. You can just tell the difference. I know you have when you played against the Chargers. I don't think I have necessarily.
I was personally booed. Yeah. Oh. Boo. That's a personal boo right there.
Eli, the point is Broncos fans are happy to have Russell Wilson, right? These boos are going to calm down. Broncos fans are glad to have him. That's all he's going to be worried about here in a couple of plays.
They're not going to calm down tonight.
I thought it was embarrassing to the fans. You don't boo. I mean, I felt that way when Shaq left the Lakers and then came back here with Miami on Christmas and the Laker fans booed him. Shaq isn't the one who left. They traded him.
Yeah. And also, I think there needs to – sometimes there's a recognition – like when Stafford left Detroit, you know, he left, he didn't say anything bad about them. He didn't leak stories in the media. And everybody kind of understood, like, he's a great quarterback, probably a Hall of Famer, right? And he was on a team that never won. And they had all these years to try to build a team around him, and they didn't win. It was kind of obvious Seattle's been going in the wrong direction for a while. And Russell wants to play it at a high level. And in some ways, his salary was what was keeping them from adding to the team, but they also had some whiffs and some mistakes, and he gave him a couple years where he was kind of running for his life out there. They didn't have a great line around him. There was a couple of years there where they could have turned things around, and they didn't do it.
Totally disagree with you both.
Why?
Really?
Yeah, I think there's no problem with booing somebody like this. The difference between with Matthew Stafford leaving the Lions, that was a bad franchise. And he did the best that he could. So they're like, okay, hey, you're back here. This is great. Congratulations for going to a winning team. You know, that's good for you. But for this, Russell Wilson, he left a team, and that was not on good terms that he left the team. It was either last offseason or two offseasons ago. He was talking about going to the Raiders, and he was talking about wanting to leave. And now he actually did leave. I don't think that's the fans' fault. They should boo him.
So if Mike Trout left and came back, you would boo him if you're an Angel.
That's a bad franchise. So it's the same type of thing.
I mean, I get what you're saying. It's like the Seahawks are not a bad franchise, but
they're not a bad franchise. They won a Super Bowl. They went to a second Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think their time had passed. I mean, they're clearly seen as like the weakest team in that division.
But he left them. He left a good franchise with a good head coach that could have gotten back to somewhere at some point. Maybe if you added a couple pieces around him.
I think he and Pete kind of fell out though.
Yeah, but and by the way,
he fell off. He's like Russell Wilson is not very authentic. I showed you a video yesterday, and I think I sent it in an email this morning. He was practicing his high fives.
Hey, practice makes perfect. What's wrong with that?
He was practicing his high fives, John.
I know what you're saying, but I will say, like, as somebody who goes on TV, people tell me all the time, you should watch tape of yourself to see what your eyes are doing, to see what your facial expressions are doing when you're on TV, because you know, it's a visual medium. People are going to judge you based on how you look just when the camera's on you, but you're not talking. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you have to be aware of, and he realizes he's on camera. Like, that video was pretty funny, but
it was
like,
very funny.
Maybe, I mean, there's a part of him that's like, he's done the Nickelodeon Awards. I think he's the kind of guy who like hosts things, wants to have a TV career afterwards. Like, a lot of quarterbacks watch a lot of tape of themselves. Like, they're just used to practicing that kind of stuff and respecting a visual medium.
I cannot imagine an athlete in Los Angeles, authentic or not, that did as much as Russell Wilson did for Seattle, and then you boom. Greg, the equivalent is when the Laker fans booed Shaq. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Again,
they shouldn't have booed him.
No, winning franchise. I don't think they should have booed him either.
What was the difference between what Shaq did and what Russell Wilson did?
Absolutely nothing, but you left the winning franchise, whether it was his call or not. It was not. Maybe it was Shaq's fault. We had a choice here at that time. It was Kobe or Shaq, and you had to pick one side.
But the
you were
Lakers
on one side or the
made
other.
That choice. Shaq didn't.
Sure, no. Okay, sure. I'm not trying to say anything bad about Shaq, but booing Shaq, I understand it. I wouldn't necessarily do it, but I understand why the Seattle fans did it, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's okay to boo people, especially superstars that leave.
Yeah, first of all, he got
traded. He booed
traded.
Kenley Jansen when he got here.
Yeah,
right.
That was bad.
Well,
that
was bad,
Kenley
but still,
Jansen
I understand it.
Kenley Jansen got booed when he played for the Dodgers.
Right, by you his know, own hands.
He was booed because they didn't want... By the way,
we can't tell fans
if Craig Kimbrell
didn't
find this Let It Go, he would have started hearing boos.
Oh, no, he was already hearing boos.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... That was booing his performance. But Russell Wilson was the opposite. He was a great quarterback for them.
Yeah.
I thought that was... I thought that the Seahawks fans came off as a bunch of jerks.
No,
but
soft.
You know, that's it. Okay, so I mentioned, Rona, you said we both watched Hulu Legacy last night about the Lakers. And it's when this particular episode, is when the Lakers pivoted to Kobe and Shaq.
Yep.
And when they both got here the same year. And so it was all about Kobe and Shaq. And Shaq tells a story where when Phil Jackson got the job, Shaq went to visit him in Montana to show Phil that he was all in. And he said he gets to the house in Montana, and Phil says, hey, before we start talking, I need you to take this big log and move it down to the lake.
Yep.
And Shaq went, I get paid $125 million. I'm not moving no effing log. I'm not doing it. And then he started thinking about it. He goes, oh, he's testing me.
Yep.
Which was Phil's thing, man. Phil would
always
put tests out in the media, put tests out on the... He'd give you books and then ask you about them to see if you read them.
Yep.
And Shaq goes, okay. He wants to see if I'm coachable and willing to work with him. So he moved the log.
And he also said, that's something my dad would have done.
Right. His dad was a drill sergeant.
Yep.
Who made him do a bunch of stuff that on the surface didn't make any sense. But now he looks back and he goes, he was trying to instill discipline. So on a related note, I know you know this because you worked with Michael last week. So right now the 80s Showtime Lakers are at a reunion on Maui, and most of them are over there.
Yeah.
Kareem, Magic, Worthy, Michael, Pat Riley.
Byron.
Yeah, Byron Scott's there. Some of the early 80s Lakers are Jim Jones is there. Kurt Rambis is there. There's a bunch of guys there. And Michael did not want to go.
Yeah.
Michael was, he just got back from
Michael
Bahamas.
Michael was Michael.
Yeah, he was just got back from Bahamas. He's like, I'm going to be traveling a lot starting in a month. I'm not going to go. And so he decided not to go. And Pat Riley and Magic called him and guilted him into going. And he sent me a text last night and he said, I can't believe I thought about not coming to this. It's unbelievable. Then he starts sending me these videos. And it's everybody holding court. Oh. It's Magic holding court. It's Worthy holding court. It's Pat Riley holding court.
So cool.
They're just ribbing each other and laughing and telling stories. And it looks like they've taken over the whole island. And I am so happy for Michael. And so good. By the way, Magic is sending a lot of this stuff out on his Instagram.
Is he? That's what I was just looking for.
So if you want to see some of what I'm talking about, you can, you know, see all the people over there.
That's interesting he did that, though, because one of the things that they said was they wanted it to not be televised. There wouldn't be any videos, no camera crews.
Well, these are just people with their phones.
I know, but still, when you put it on social media, everybody sees it.
True, but it is, let me just say this. It looks like an incredibly cool event, and Michael is ecstatic that he's there. And I was with Worthy on Sunday, and he was looking forward to it, and it seems like it's completely living up to the hype. They're over there all week. So if you're going to Hawaii, you may run into a bunch of 80s Laker legends who are all...
Have they had the practice yet?
No, that's on Tuesday.
Oh, gosh. So, wow, they're going to be there for a while.
Yeah. So
it's like a whole week.
They're on Maui?
Oh, wait a minute. Tuesday might be today. They're there for
it's
a
today.
Week.
Today.
Yeah, yeah, they flew in Monday, so it might be today.
Okay.
Yeah, they're on Maui, Greg.
And all right, so I'll be in Maui tomorrow. You won't see me tomorrow. I'm just going. I just want to leave.
You're just good.
I just want to go to Maui to go see them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll see you next week.
This is this like fantasy camp?
No. What this is Greg hasn't looked at the prices.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Hawaii is expensive.
Really?
Maybe I should swim.
Yeah, it just is. Stop. Yeah, swim. You can be like Michael Phelps. You get there in 4 days.
Yes.
It looks like they're having a really good time over there, so good for them. All right, coming up next, we'll spin the wheel of questions and... The Emmys were last night, lots of surprises, and a heartfelt speech that I think will hit home with a lot of people. We'll play that for you. Momo in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. Right, Wheel of Questions time. Let's say everybody has a button, and when you press it, it does something. All right?
Okay.
The good news is, you get to decide what that something is. What does your button do? Okay? So you have like a Staples button, an easy button.
Okay.
You just hit it. All right, so I'll go first. This is what I would want my button to do. Eliminate all lines. Okay? If I'm in traffic, I hit the button, the road clears.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
If I'm in line at a Starbucks or at a restaurant, and I walk in, they say 30-minute wait, hit the button, the wait is over.
Huh.
I would use it to eliminate waiting in line for anything. Bergman, you have a button. What's the button do?
Super easy. Think love potion number 9, but only for heiresses. I become immensely irresistible to all heiresses.
You hit the button and you're James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah, like all these women just that's actually a very good use of the button.
But I can always stop it whenever I feel like it.
I fear it would turn you into Hugh Hefner, but that's a...
we don't want to talk about Hugh. There's a lot of bad stuff going on with him right now.
But I think you're thinking in the right way. Momo, what's your button do?
What does my button do? Okay. I think that it's either eliminating traffic or making it so that I don't actually have to like sleep.
Well, I don't sleep now.
I don't want to stay up all night, but I could push a button and I would be like, okay, I need 8 hours of sleep and rest. My body needs that right now. Just push the button.
And then wake up 8 hours later?
Yeah, not actually wake up, but not actually have to go do it. But like
just be up all night.
Yeah, just
do what I do.
Just get the benefits of 8 hours of sleep.
The button. I haven't had 8 hours of sleep since I was in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jorge, what's your button do?
Teleport. Take me somewhere.
Oh, I love that.
That's a good one.
Take me from here.
And so you would never have to waste. Well, for me, that'd be a godsend. Yeah. You'd never have to actually fly on the plane. So like, I could push the button and I could be in Boston
or
for
Hawaii.
For a
Oh, that's good.
That's
Bergman,
very
you can borrow
good.
My button.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it and I'll go see the Lakers stuff.
Exactly.
In Maui.
There you go. That Greg, that could get you to Maui, and you wouldn't have to pay all the money. Yeah, that'd be good use of the button. All right. So the Emmys were last night. They were downstairs, so it affected all of us here. It was very hard to get in and out of here yesterday. I actually was surprised by a couple of the awards, but not too many. I thought that they, like, Succession did very well.
Yep.
I never watched Squid Game. Squid Game did very well.
It was really good.
So Outstanding Drama Series was Succession. Outstanding Comedy Series, Ted Lasso, which is great. Outstanding Limiting Series, The White Lotus. Now, I haven't watched that.
Mm-hmm.
Have any of you?
I saw it.
Worth watching?
I liked it a lot. I don't know that it should have won, like, every award.
I would have voted for The Dropout. Now, Amanda Seyfried won for playing Elizabeth Holmes on The Dropout, which I thought she deserved. Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series, Zendaya won for Euphoria. Have you guys seen Euphoria?
I tried watching it once, and it was, like, kind of depressing and dark, and I didn't like it, and I was like, nah.
I never watched it, but Zendaya is really good. She's beautiful, too.
Yeah,
she has my birthday.
I thought that Laura Linney had a chance for Ozark. I thought Reese Witherspoon for The Morning Show would be good, but they gave it second year in a row for Zendaya.
Oh, she's won 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Lead actor in a drama series went to Squid Game, which I haven't seen. I was disappointed Better Call Saul didn't win anything.
Yeah.
But they can win next year.
Mm-hmm.
Lead actress in a comedy series, Jean Smart for Hacks. I don't watch Hacks.
Yeah, I watched that. I love her in The Thing. I thought it was, like, a really weird speech she gave, and I don't know who she looked way, like, it was just wasn't a great look for her. I was being all judgy. I was like, oh, she looks so good in the show. Like, why did she wear that dress and who did her hair? And I wouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis won lead actor in a comedy.
That was good.
For Ted Lasso. Lead actor in a limited series, Michael Keaton for Dope Sick. He was very good in that.
Okay.
I thought that was good. Amanda Seyfried, as I mentioned, won for The Dropout for lead actress. Supporting actress in a drama series. I thought this was good. I probably would have given it to Rhea Seehorn for Better Call Saul.
Uh-huh.
They gave it to Julia Garner for Ozark.
Okay.
I thought Julia Garner was great on Ozark. I would have been mad if they would have given it to her for the other thing she was in.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought winning it for Ozark was okay.
Who's Rhea Seehorn on Better Call Saul?
She is the one who plays Bob Odenkirk's wife. Who's the lawyer?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they got married.
Kim.
Yeah.
Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they got married.
Supporting actor in a drama series, Matthew McFadden, who plays Tom on Succession.
So good.
He won.
I didn't know he was British.
Oh,
until
no.
Until he started talking.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Then outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series. Now, this is not a series that I watch, but it had a very good night. Abbott Elementary. It's mm-hmm. a show about an elementary school in Philadelphia with primarily African-American actors. And Cheryl Lee Ralph's been around for a while. And Ramona, I always think about the fact, you and I are good examples of this.
Mm-hmm.
We elected to go into a profession where it's very easy to get swallowed up.
Yep.
There's a chance when you started, you were covering high school sports at the Daily News. I was doing 3 minutes of sports in Monroe, Louisiana and Beaumont, Texas.
Yep.
You never know. And all you're thinking about when you're in those jobs, all you're thinking about is, how do I move up? How do I get out of the situation mm-hmm. I'm in and get to play-by-play guy for the Lakers or lead writer for the NBA for ESPN.com? Yep. You know, places where we've ascended to. And while you're doing it, while you're working your way up in these small towns, I know there's a lot of people out there listening that you're working your way up in your career and you think you've hit a dead end and you can't see yourself ever making it through the other side. You're just caught in the tube.
Yep.
And it's an incredibly frustrating time.
Yep.
Greg, you've talked about this, how you bounced around job to job, weren't sure what you were going to do.
Yep.
You told a story that you were thinking about packing up and moving back east to, you know, maybe change your career trajectory.
Yep.
It is something mentally that you deal with all the time. And when Cheryl Lee Ralph got up and gave her acceptance speech, she said something that I think everybody in that situation, because we've all been there.
Yep.
Everybody in that situation needs to hear, because she's 100% right. Here's what she said.
To anyone who has ever, ever had a dream and thought your dream wasn't, wouldn't, couldn't come true, I am here to tell you that this is what believing looks like. This is what striving looks like. And don't you ever never give up on you, because if you get a Quinta Brunson in your corner, if you get a husband like mine in your corner, if you get children like mine in your corner, and if you've got friends like everybody who voted for me, cheered for me, love me, thank you, thank you.
She's right.
Yep.
You only need, like, you and I hear all the time from people that are mad at us for something or doing something, blah, blah, blah. It's easy to listen to that side of the argument and say, God, I'm not doing very well.
Yeah.
But if you find the right people, if you surround yourself with the right people, all you need is a little bit of luck. John Wooden used to say, luck is where preparation meets opportunity, and you just need a chance. And that woman was bouncing around Hollywood for years and never pictured herself going up on stage to accept an award for best supporting actress in a comedy. And when she went up there and said that, I go, man, she's talking to all these people that are struggling in Hollywood. The, you know, they always say the best looking guy and the best looking girl from any high school in America end up in LA. And they're trying to make, the most of them are waiters, and they're trying to make it as actors, or they're trying to get, they're on Broadway, they're in New York, and they just aren't getting the breaks. What she said, don't ever give up on you. Because when you do that, then the dream dies.
So
Don't do it.
I used to, I remember when I was in that struggle phase, right? We call it the struggle phase. And I actually just
talked to, everybody's been through.
Yeah, everybody's been through. And by the way, there's not just one struggle phase.
Yeah.
There can be multiple. Like, you can make it and then you can struggle again. I was talking to a class at USC last week, a journalism class, and I said, listen, when you first start in this industry, most likely the first 5 to 10 years of your career, probably going to suck.
Right. Like, and you're going to struggle.
You're going to struggle, and you're going to think, what did I go to school for? Why do I have this degree? Why am I doing this? I should go get a real job. I should go get, you know, this is not going to work, especially living in LA where it's expensive, and other people, especially you go to school like USC, UCLA, something, probably your friends are getting other jobs that are probably pretty good and paying more. Our jobs in journalism, when you first start, you're lucky if you're getting, you know, paid by a story. Sometimes they ask you to work for free.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get another job just to stay in it. And at least for me, I was really close to quitting the industry, really close, because I was getting close to 30. I was getting married.
Right.
I kind of wasn't progressing. And right at the moment of, you know, they always say it was the line, it's always darkest before the dawn. Like,
right
when I was about to, like, get out of the business and do something else with my life is when I finally get a break. You get one big break. And then you tell the story now, like 10 years later, and you're like, oh, I should have seen that coming. And yeah, of course that happened. But during the time, it was really depressing. You get depressed. You question yourself.
Everybody goes through it. And you could tell by the way she was saying that she struggled.
Yeah.
People were not giving her roles. They were not giving her opportunities. There was a story running around last night about, I don't know if it was about Cheryl, if it was about somebody else, that Robert De Niro told him, you're like ridiculously talented. Hollywood's not giving roles to a lot of black women. Don't give up. I'm going to play this again because listen to what, and I loved what she said. This is what believing looks like.
To anyone who has ever, ever had a dream and thought your dream couldn't come true, I am here to tell you that this is what believing looks like. This is what striving looks like. And don't you ever, ever give up on you, because if you get a Quinta Brunson in your corner, if you get a husband like mine in your corner, if you get children like mine in your corner, and if you've got friends like everybody who voted for me, cheered for me, loved me, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Just so great. Just exactly what people in that mode needed to hear. I thought she absolutely killed it. All right, coming up next, big NBA story today. Did the NBA drop the ball? We'll get into that next. Momo Informace, I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.